The Holy Gospel for this morning comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. My dear siblings in Christ, hope, peace, joy, and love are yours this day from Emmanuel, who is Jesus, God with us. Amen. Not so long ago, maybe even just a couple months, if you had asked me what sort of creature might wear this particular item of clothing, I would have said a tiny baby. Keyword tiny. I would have thought that this tiny baby is something that's fragile and probably quite weak. The only thing that would have frightened me about such a baby was its vulnerability, so small and so helpless. That's what I would have said until a baby moved into my body. Now I look at this item of clothing and I think that the creature that will one day wear it will be absolutely enormous. Because at this very moment, the baby growing inside me is about half the size of the baby that will fit into this onesie. And yet, as of a couple weeks ago, I can no longer tie my own shoes. From any other perspective, a 3-pound fetus, which is approximately where we are now, it's tiny from any other perspective. And yet, I can tell you it does not feel so tiny when it is punching my pancreas. I don't really know if that's where it is. I'm not clear on these things, but it's punching something. This 3-pound fetus has completely taken over my body and has started to dictate and limit seemingly everything I do. I've always heard that having a baby changes your perspective on life, but I've never quite grasped how close to home or how literally that perspective would hit. Turns out birth changes things when the birth is coming to your house, to your own body and your own family. And preparing for that birth changes things too. Things that once seemed tiny suddenly seem huge. These tiny things get in your way. They redirect your plans and your priorities. They start to take over your lungs and they make you need a 15-minute nap after you walk up the stairs. And conversely, from what I hear in the context of birth and preparing for birth, things that once seemed huge don't seem so big or so scary or daunting. That's what I hear. I'm not there yet. Perspective changing. It is one of the greatest gifts of preparing for birth, and it is one of the greatest gifts of the birth preparations in the church we call Advent. This season of awaiting the world-changing and history-changing birth of Jesus the Messiah. Things that might otherwise seem small, like a baby in a manger, will change the course of history. Things that might otherwise seem enormous, like a tyrant king and the corrupt systems around him, suddenly lose their power. Perspectives start to shift even before the baby is born. Even now in the final days of Advent. During our Sunday forums during this Advent season, Deacon Catherine has been leading us through a study on a book called The Gift of the Nutcracker. In the book, the author, a pastor named Matt Rowell, makes connections between the classic story and ballet of the Nutcracker and the Advent and Christmas stories of our Bible and our faith tradition. In the conversation from the book last week, I was particularly struck by the discussion on perspective, how both the Nutcracker and the gospel accounts of the birth stories play with perspective. Both stories make huge that which is often seen as small, and make small that which is often seen as big and powerful. In the Nutcracker, in the book about the Nutcracker, Pastor Rowell particularly talks about the character of the Mouse King to illustrate the point on perspective. For Clara, the main character in the Nutcracker, what's normally a tiny creature like a mouse becomes huge and scary and daunting in the form of the Mouse King. Because as Clara reminds us, your perspective changes when things move into your own dreams and life. At the same time, the Advent and the Christmas story take something so small, a tiny baby, and makes him huge in the sense of the implications of his birth and its impact on history. The story takes what's huge and powerful, in this case Herod the great king, the corrupt Roman powers, and squelches their power and influence. The story entirely redefines size and power. It reframes influence and priorities, because when birth comes close to home, it changes things, for better or for worse, maybe for worse to those in power. In our first reading for today that Roger shared from the prophet Isaiah, the Lord speaks to a king of Israel named Ahaz, who bumbles and cowers in the sight of the Lord. Ahaz has just been told by God to bring a word of comfort to Ahaz, to King Ahaz, who faces a possible military disaster. And just before our passage, before verse 10 begins, God says to Isaiah, "Tell Ahaz to take heed, to be quiet, and to not fear." And so then God speaks directly to Ahaz, starting in verse 10, where our reading picks up. God says, "Ask me anything, Ahaz, test me, so you will know that I will be with you in whatever is to come." More specifically, God says, "Ask me for a sign. Let it be as big or as small as you want it to be, as high or as deep." But Ahaz isn't so sure. He wants a sign directly from God. After all, signs from God change things when they come right to you and your own household. "Nah," Ahaz says, "I'm good. I won't ask. I won't put you to the test, God." And yet God insists. God will give a sign. God will insist whether Ahaz wants it or not. And so then, what sort of sign is it that the God of Israel chooses to bestow on Ahaz and the world? How will the Lord of the universe, who created every living being, make God's own presence known? With a baby. "The Lord will give you a sign," God says to Ahaz. "The young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. God will give a sign, a small sign, one that fits in a woman's womb, one that will fit in a scratchy manger. It's so small. But when that sign comes to your own womb or to your own mangers, our world, that sign won't seem so small at all. Centuries later, then, Matthew, the gospel writer, picks up on the same promise from God, the same small sign. That's when the angel Gabriel visits a man named Joseph in a dream. Joseph is engaged to a young woman named Mary, who has recently been revealed to be pregnant outside of marriage, an offense that, according to some laws of the day, could be grounds for putting her to death. The angel comes to Joseph when he's just on the brink of leaving Mary, and the angel offers those most popular words for an angel to say, "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid, Joseph," Gabriel says. The angel knows that new life has moved into Joseph's world and its impacts are already anything but small. The implications of the child in Mary's womb are huge and daunting and dangerous. But don't be afraid, Gabriel says. Keep walking with Mary. Stand with her and her child. The child conceived in her is from God's own Holy Spirit. This child will fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah. Look, the young woman shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph wakes up, the gospel writer tells us he follows the angel's instructions. He keeps walking with Mary. He welcomes the child. The text says he is even the one who names him, which is a powerful statement of his commitment to his family and his role in the baby's life. The angel came to Joseph in a dream to speak of the sign from God that would be coming to his family and to the world. A small sign, a sign that will fit in a little manger, but a sign that will change the world. God keeps up God's pattern of small signs we're getting in these readings, but we know these signs aren't so small at all, which tells us something significant about God and the ways God works in the world, about the ways God chooses to move in and among us by coming so close, God with us, in small ways. Because perhaps God knows, and God has always known, that by coming in small ways, God flips the structures of power. God makes huge that which is perceived as small. God makes small that which we have given too much power. God brings down the powerful from their thrones and lifts up the lowly, to quote Mary from Luke's gospel. It seems especially fitting in this season of Advent, this season of preparing for the ways small signs change the world, that Time magazine named a 16-year-old as Person of the Year. Greta Thunberg, the Swedish adolescent who dares call out the ways our world ruthlessly neglects and violates the needs of our precious Earth. Greta, who is teaching the whole world that small signs are anything but small. Greta, who reminds us that God has always shown up through small signs. Because perhaps God has always known that small signs are not so small when they show up in our own bodies and in our world. Small signs aren't so small when they infringe on our lungs and our stomachs and our shoe tying, but more deeply when they insist on being heard and seen, when they redirect our priorities. The small sign we consider and welcome and wait for today, this Emmanuel, God with us sign, will soon grow up in our story. And he will awaken us to see the other small signs around us, the poor, the vulnerable, and the weak, those whom we consider small in our world. He will remind us that God calls us to see the small people and the small creatures of our world. He will turn the tables of our temples and our power structures. He will tell us to do small things, to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and visit the prisoners. He will tell us that through these small things, we will experience the kingdom of God. He will die a death on a cross, a vulnerable, a small death, to rob death of its very power. And 3 days later, he will quietly rise from the dead in a small and silent way, leaving behind the bands of cloth that shrouded him in both birth and in burial, giving us the power of life everlasting. This is the God for whom we wait today, a God of small signs that are not so small at all. Amen.